to Let's Talk Health, a community radio initiative of the Community Health and Social Services Network, CHSSN. Our show today is Heart Health with nurse and health educator Joanne Jones. My name is Kelly Howarth, and I will be your host. So to start by introducing Joanne, Joanne Jones is a registered nurse and health educator with a master's degree in adult education from McGill University. Joanne works as community support coordinator for the CHSSN telehealth program, which provides health and social topics via video conferencing to remote communities around Quebec. Welcome, Joanne. Hello. Tell us why heart health is such an important topic, especially for women.
Thank you, Kelly. Women today are living longer, and we have greater expectations for living an active, healthy lifestyle. Yet, we still face major heart and health challenges, and we are often unaware that we are at risk. Most Canadian women have at least one risk factor for heart disease.
Okay, and for those of you who are listening, the resource that we are using today for this presentation is Heart Smart Women, a guide to heart disease from the Canadian Heart and Stroke Foundation. And if you're interested in getting this guide, you can do so at the Heart and Stroke Foundation of Quebec at 1-800-567-8563 or visit their website, the Quebec Heart and Stroke Foundation website at www.heartandstroke.qc.ca. So, Joanne, there are many myths around heart health. Can you tell us three of the most common myths about women and heart disease and the facts behind them?
Well, we now know that the facts about heart disease in women are not as well known as they should be. Here are the common myths that will address that fact. What you might have heard is that breast cancer is the most important health issue for Canadian women. In fact, 8 times more women die from heart disease and stroke each year than from breast cancer. The second myth that you might have heard is that there's just not enough time for women to fit in everything that needs to be done for their work, personal needs, and still pay proper attention to their heart health.
So they don't take care of themselves?
No, and in fact, heart health can be easily incorporated into each of our busy days. It's not just a question of doing more things, but of doing things differently. For example, taking the stairs instead of an elevator, choosing a fruit or a vegetable as a snack instead of a cookie, not parking right beside the gym, but parking a little bit further away from even the grocery store so that you have to walk a bit further in your day. The third myth, of course, is the fact that the symptoms of a heart attack are the same for both men and women. Many women have heart attack symptoms that are similar to those of men, and these include the crushing chest pain and shortness of breath that we all hear about. However, some women may also have less obvious symptoms, such as an indigestion-like discomfort, a vague chest discomfort or pressure, nausea or back pain. These symptoms seem to occur more often in women than in men, and so they're easy to miss. They should not be ignored by women or their doctors. We really need to be aware of this.
So when we understand how something works, we're better able to deal with it. So Joanne, tell us, how does the heart work?
Okay, I'd like each of the ins that are listening in our audience today to take their hand, their right hand preferably, and make a fist, and take that fist and put it over the middle of your chest, just a little bit to the left of the breastbone and underneath, over top of your rib cage. This closed fist is about the size of your heart. If you squeeze it, you will be doing what your heart does. Your heart acts as a pump. It pumps to keep the blood circulating around our body. And amazingly, this little pump beats on average about 100,000 times a day. So it's a very busy pump. It pumps the blood through the heart and carries oxygen and food to all of those cells in our bodies and tissues so that they can function properly. What we also need, of course, though, are the vessels to carry that blood. And that's where we come into heart problems, because those vessels are really important. Just like the pipes that carry the water into your house, visualize a garden hose. When you first buy a garden hose, it's very flexible, it's very clean, the water comes out of it really easily. Over time, that garden hose can start to clog up. And that's exactly what happens to our coronary arteries. They come, as we age, they become more narrow and stiff. In some people, there's an additional buildup of cholesterol, which is a soft, waxy substance that's manufactured by human and animal bodies, and other fat products that can get inside the lining of these coronary arteries. If you think of your garden hose, if it starts getting plugged up, what do? You turn up the pressure. This causes your blood pressure to go higher because the pump then has to pump harder. This is when we can get into trouble. Two things can happen. One is the pressure can go high enough to cause someone to bleed, or pieces of the plaque, what they call plaque inside those vessels, can cause it to clog and form a clot.
So is that what we mean when we talk about coronary arteries and coronary disease?
Yeah, this process is the heart muscle can't work properly if it doesn't get enough oxygen and nutrients. And this process is called coronary artery disease because the arteries that actually feed the heart, that muscle, are coronary arteries. Now, if you have coronary artery disease where that muscle is not getting enough oxygen, it can lead to chest pain, which is called angina. It can also lead to a heart attack if the heart muscle doesn't get any oxygen at all.
Okay, so then, Joanne, tell us, what is the difference between angina and a heart attack?
Well, first of all, the major difference is in a heart attack, some of the muscle of the heart can die because it's not getting enough oxygen. In angina, it's a chest pain or a discomfort that occurs when sometimes for women, especially when we are exercising and we feel this discomfort, and it means a signal that the heart muscle is not getting enough blood. Not that it's not getting any, but it's not getting enough blood and oxygen. And it's a warning for you to stop what you're doing and rest. If you stop what you're doing and rest, oftentimes that will go away, and that's an indication that's angina. It's the most common signal of heart disease experienced by women. More women will have angina as their first sign of heart disease than an actual heart attack, whereas a heart attack is the most common first sign of a heart disease in men.
So we hear about stroke then. Tell us about, what is a stroke exactly?
The stroke is actually in the brain. Sometimes we sort of categorize them together, but they're not. In the brain, if one of the vessels, the little arteries again in the brain, which are much smaller, becomes clogged, it means that that clot prevents, again, oxygen from getting to the brain, and part of the brain cells can die or be damaged. And whatever your symptoms are, whether it's inability to talk or inability to move a hand, it depends in what area of the brain that clot happens.
So then you've already talked about signs and symptoms briefly. Tell us more about other signs and symptoms to look for around heart disease in women.
Well, the most important signs and symptoms that we need to be aware of are actually when we have a heart attack. The first thing is we're going to have pain, okay? And we all have different perceptions of pain, so it might not, again, in women be the crushing pain that we hear men talking about. It may be a sudden discomfort or just a pain that doesn't go away with rest. That pain may be in our cheeks, it may be in the neck, it may be in the jaw, the shoulder, or the arms, or the back. It often feels like a burning, heavy tightness or pressure. That's how people describe it, or a squeezing. However, in women, that pain may be more vague, and we need to know that. Of course, we have to expect at some point there will be some shortness of breath because we're not getting oxygen, and the oxygen is not going to our lungs so we can breathe properly. There's often nausea, which comes with indigestion and vomiting. Sweating, if there's a cool, clammy skin, because again, we're not getting the oxygen that we need. And of course, fear. Oftentimes there's anxiety, but there can also be denial. This isn't happening to me. However, I can't overstress that these signs may be mild or they may be severe. But if you or someone you know is having any of these signs, call 911. They can guide you through what to do. They can send you someone. Never think that your neighbor can drive you to a hospital, because if something happens on the way, they may not be trained to give you mouth-to-mouth respiration, and they can not always be the one to save you. Women can differ because, again, I can't stress too much, these symptoms may be more vague and atypical. And again, for women, we have risk factors such as hormones and diabetes.
Yes, so what are, there's many risk factors for heart disease. Tell us what all these are.
Well, as we say, there's some we can not control, and that's aging. We talked about aging and the fact that our arteries just become stiffer. They become a bit more clogged just in the process of living. So we can't change our increasing age. We cannot change our family history. It also plays a role if someone in your family has had a heart attack. And we can't change our race or ethnicity. Some are more at risk than others. However, risk factors that we can do something about are smoking. Smoking is the biggest risk factor for heart attack for women of all ages because it puts an added strain on the heart as it causes the blood vessels to tighten and become narrow. Women are 2 to 5 times more likely to have a heart attack if they smoke. The second risk factor is high blood pressure. It's the leading cause of stroke. Remember, I said that's in the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And it increases the risk of heart disease up to 4 times. Again, if your heart has to push harder and it's already beating 100,000 times a day, we're putting extra stress on your heart. The third risk factor, of course, is high cholesterol. These are the fatty, waxy substances in your blood that come in the food that we eat. And there's high-density lipoproteins and low-density lipoproteins. And it's really important to know what are the numbers that you have and what you can do about it in your changing your eating habits. Physical inactivity is also important because if we're not as active, we tend to have higher cholesterol. And our weight also means that the heart has to work harder. If we have high stress and depression, again, we tighten up. That increases our heart rate and making this muscle and this pump work harder. We tend to eat more sometimes if we're depressed, and that puts on weight, and we tend to exercise less.
And there's also a mention here of diabetes.
Yes, women with diabetes, unfortunately, are 3 to 7 times more likely to get heart disease than women who don't have disease, have diabetes. And this can, because of the damage oftentimes it's done with the extra sugar and the lining of our blood vessels, it increases something called atherosclerosis in the blood vessels.
So then, Joanne, what kind of lifestyle changes can one make around heart health?
Well, we know that, of course, being a good weight, exercising, all these things that we hear about, eating well, can certainly make a big difference to our lifestyle changes. However, as much information as we get, we also know that people have to follow this. So there's something to be done, which we're all doing today, which is listening to this program. So now you're more aware of your heart disease and what your heart looks like, I hope, and the difference between stroke and angina and heart attack, and that women need to be really aware of the fact that they don't always have the same symptoms as men. The second thing after knowing about it is that you need to do something about it. So next time you park your car at the grocery store, park it further away, not just right at the door. So maybe you have to push that cart a little bit further. Anything that we can do to keep ourselves at a good weight. Smoking is a big issue to look at now. It's certainly the biggest risk that you're now aware of. It's important to do something about it.
So aside from all of these changes that one can make, they can still look for these resources that are available if they would like to read more. There's the Heart and Stroke Foundation of Quebec at 1-800-567-8563, or you can visit the Heart and Stroke Foundation website at www.heartandstroke.qc.ca. Joanne, thank you for taking time today to tell us about the importance of taking care of our hearts. We hope that you, our listener, have learned more about keeping your hearts healthy. I'm Kelly Howarth, your host for Let's Talk Health. Thanks for listening and have a great day.